Turn to Mark chapter 10 this morning. We're going to be looking at this scripture passage today. And last week, we, of course, looked at one of the most important questions that any one of us will ever be confronted with. And it was the question of Jesus to his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And some said, "Well, you're John the Baptist." Some said, "You're Elijah." Others said, "You're Jeremiah." But who do you say that I am? And Peter answered correctly. And he said, "Well, you're the Christ. You're the Anointed One. You are indeed the Son of God." And yet, even though he made the proper confession of faith, and he understood in his own heart that Jesus was the Messiah, we all know that the disciples still didn't quite get it. They still had their arguments, and they still didn't understand about the kingdom. And so Jesus one day was out, and he sat down, and there were some children who came to him. And in Mark chapter 10, we have these verses. "Then they brought little children to him." I'm going to read it in my Bible instead. "Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. When Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, 'Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. And assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter into it.' And he took them up in his arms and laid his hands upon them and blessed them." Isn't that a tremendous passage of Scripture? You see, you have to understand that in Jesus' day, not everybody loved children. Not everybody loves children in our society. You know, we always know that there are those who are pretty crotchety and grouchy, and, they just really see children as a nuisance. But I love kids. I really do. I've loved my kids. I was not a parent who wanted my children to quickly vacate my house. I wanted to keep them around for a while. You know, maybe that's selfish. And I love my grandkids. And I really do, and I love the kids here at church. But the only thing of it is, when I'm around the kids, I'm more of a child, and everything becomes a great big wow, you know? I mean, it's not under order at all when I'm in charge of children's church or Sunday school. But in that day, children were an inconvenience. And they didn't really see children. It was sort of an interim period between adulthood and birth. There were 6 out of every 10 children who died before the age of 16. Can you imagine that? 6 out of every 10 children died before the age of 16. But many people didn't really appreciate children. And again, as I've said, in our society today, sadly, there are many people who see children as an inconvenience. And they really don't take any time with their children. They don't take time for other people's children. And they see them as little value in life. But here's Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me." You took away my scripture passage. "Let the little children come to me. And do not forbid them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." What does Jesus mean by that remark? Now you can go ahead. What does he mean by that remark? "Well, let the children come to me. And if you're going to receive the kingdom, you know, you have to receive them as a small child." What does he mean? Well, I always go back and I always think about all the funny things that children say. And there was a test that was given to school to some elementary children, and they were trying to answer some questions. And the question on one test was, "When was our nation founded?" And one little boy wrote, "I didn't even know it was losted." And another one said in response to a question, "A myth is a female moth." You ever had any of those things happen in life? How many of you remember Abraham Lincoln's speech, "A house divided against itself"? Well, they said, "A horse divided against itself cannot stand." That's true. I mean, it just won't stand. But here's one that's really, really pretty neat. A little girl was asked to define people. And she said this, "People are composed of girls and boys and men and women. Girls are nice. Boys are no good until they're grown up and married. My mother is a woman, which is a grown up with children. My father is so nice that I think he must have been a girl when he was a boy." I mean, what does Jesus mean when he says, "Let the little children come to me"? I mean, is he talking about their innocence? Is he talking about their curiosity? I mean, Jesus knew, friends, he really did know in his own heart that every one of us, as David says, was conceived in sin. There's not one of us in this room, and there's no child in this room who comes into this world, totally good, totally perfect. Every one of us are born into sin. That all goes back to the garden. And when Adam and Eve sinned, they, of course, plunged the whole humanity into sin. And we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so you look at Jesus' statement. He understood that. You also look at the early Puritans. And the early Puritans believed in what was called total depravity, okay? They did not believe in this innate goodness stuff that a lot of philosophers thought and some theologians thought, that we are a blank slate when we're born, we're entering into the world, and everything is hunky-dory until the society and parents mess us up. No, we have our faults, we have our failures, we have sin in the human heart. And they understood that. In fact, we all know that. I mean, when you walk into a bathroom and see the entire roll of toilet paper there in the toilet, you know that, well, you got to begin to wonder, something's not quite somewhere along the line, right? Or when you walk into a room and you've taken all day to wash that laundry and to fold it, and it's spewing all around the room like a tornado has hit, and your little children, you know that, well, you have to really begin to wonder. And when you walk into a bedroom or into whatever kind of room it is, and you found out that your children found the crayons and decided to draw on the wall, you're saying, you know, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I'll show you a picture here. This is a picture of two of my grandchildren. Their father was a children's pastor at the time, and he had stepped out and had gone into some other part of the church to do some work, and he left them in the office. And they got into his desk drawer and found some magic markers. I want to say permanent magic markers, okay, and decided they wanted to do a little artistic work on themselves. Now, they not only had it on their face, but they also had it down their arms. And Stacy says, now, they didn't get anything on their clothing, okay, but they did manage to paint their faces up, and you know, you have to look at this, and don't they look so darling up there? I mean, all painted up. I mean, you know there's something wrong. Oh, you, how am I going to get that off of there? But you know that children, you know, well, when they're eating and out of the dog's, you know, food bowl in the kitchen, you know something's not quite right. Or you know that when you had that fight, oh my, those fights. Mine, mine, daddy, why can't I have it? Billy's had it for 5 minutes. It's my time to play with it now. And all you want to do is send them off to your grandparents or maybe send them off to Jesus, right? Because you know that sometimes, well, what does it mean when he says, let the little children come to me? What is he saying there? That we have to receive the kingdom of God like a small child. These are not characteristics to emulate, all right? Unless you're going on a warpath somewhere along the line and want to do it. But what does he mean? Is it because they're so innocent? Is it because they're so cute? What does he mean by all of this? It doesn't mean that they don't worry. I mean, it doesn't mean that they don't have any care in the world, that they know what Jesus means when he says, don't worry, don't be anxious about tomorrow, because it will take care of itself. No, I've seen little children worry. I've seen fifth graders worry about going into the sixth grade, because now they no longer are the top people on the totem pole. They want to be the bottom ones on the totem pole, and they're afraid of that ninth grader or whoever it is picking on them out there. And I've seen children worry when mommy and daddy worry because there's not enough finances and they're not certain, you know, if they're going to be able. I've seen kids worry because mommy and daddy are not getting along. I've seen kids worry. And there's another myth out there that I think we say that, well, you know, mommy and daddy, we can hardly adjust, but kids can always adjust. Friends, I think that is a big myth today, because kids can't always adjust. I think we use that as an excuse for our own lifestyle, okay? But kids have a hard time of adjusting. What is Jesus saying when he says, you need to receive the kingdom like a small little child? What's he trying to teach us today? Is he teaching us that we shouldn't be so competitive in life? Well, I don't know. I think kids can be very, very competitive. I go back to Charlie Brown because he's just, you know, he's dear to my heart. But one day Charlie Brown is walking to school with Linus and Lucy. And Lucy says, hey, today's show and tell day. What did you guys bring? And Linus says, wow, I made some copies of the Dead Sea Scrolls. I've got here chapter 38 of the book of Isaiah. They were found in a cave by Bedouin shepherds. And wow, they're very, very rare. And I also have here a copy of 1 Samuel chapter 23. And I'm going to explain to the whole class what it means for biblical understanding and biblical scholarship. And Lucy says, man, that's pretty neat. That's really great, Linus. And she turns to Charlie and says, what did you bring, Charlie? He says, well, I did have a little red fire engine here, but I think I'll just forget about it here. We compete, right? How many of us have ever gone off to school? And here's Bobby, birthday party, brings a birthday cake. And then all of a sudden, next week, Billy has a birthday, and he brings a birthday cake, and he brings ice cream. And Susie has one after that, and they bring birthday cake and pop and They bring a clown that can make all sorts of little things and animals out of balloons. And here's Bobby over here saying, man, how am I going to top all that? Isn't he trying to teach us not to be competitive? What's he saying here about not learning and not growing and receiving the kingdom of God? What's he trying to say? What's he trying to teach us here? And we sometimes think about how it is. Maybe perhaps he's teaching us cute little things. No. I mean, children do teach us cute little things. In fact, they teach us understandings of the Word of God. You know, we know the prayer, what? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And there was one little child who heard that prayer recited every week, and it came to that point in time where it says, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And so this is the way she heard it. And I think it's really a pretty good paraphrase because she says it like this. She says, and forgive those, where am I at here? And forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive those who put trash in our baskets. I think that's a pretty good understanding of that, doesn't it? And then I think about this one here, and I was a little bit hesitant on sharing it because I know that some of you might get offended at it, but somebody in the church sent it to me. But it's so cute, I have to share it. And so if you're mad at it, mad at me, just be bad. But a pastor was standing up here in the front, and he was preaching, and he was really getting into it. And he raised his hands up to heaven, and he started to preach away, and he says, dear Lord, without you, we are but dust. And there was a little girl sitting over here about the fourth two pack, and she turned to her mother and said, Mommy, what is butt dust? Kids don't hear things right, do they? They just sort of screw things up. Well, here is Jesus. Friends, listen to me. He's going from Galilee to Jerusalem, and he's been teaching the things of the kingdom of God. And the disciples just don't get it. They say, Lord, you know, when you come into the kingdom and you reestablish the kingdom of David and you throw out all the Roman Empire and you install your own kingdom, can we be your vice president? Can I be your Speaker of the House? Jesus says, no, that's not what it's all about. Can one sit on the right, one sit on the left? Jesus, can I do this? And he's saying, no, wait a minute, guys, you don't understand it. I mean, they were blind to their own sin. They were blind to the old way of seeing things in their own life. And I find that in my life, I become blind to the things I do and the things I say. Back in the late 1800s, there was a group of sisters called the Cherry Sisters. And they wrote a production and they began to perform it on a stage out in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And as they began to perform, of course, they began to draw crowds. But here's the thing. They were tone deaf. They could not sing. They were clumsy. And yet they were immensely popular. People came out to hear them sing because they were so bad, okay? But what was, they began to be booked all throughout the theaters here in the Midwest here, and these would-be actresses here ignored the critics who were saying, man, they just absolutely stink. People, they began to sing, people came out, and they began to throw vegetables at them while they sang. Well, the women continued to sing, but when they went from theater to theater, they erected a screen, an iron screen in front of them so that they would not be hit with the vegetables. About 3 years after performing on stages here in the Midwest, they were invited to Broadway. Can you imagine this? To Broadway to sing on stage. And people came out to listen to them sing, not because they were good, but because they were so bad. And these sisters eventually retired at the tune of, at that time, $200,000. They went back to their farm there in Iowa to live, and oddly enough, they remained convinced to the very, very end that they were truly talented actresses who could sing like no one else. Well, that was sure true, I guess. Now, back in 2010 or so, Dan O'Brien, who was a playwright, reproduced this on Broadway, and he said it was simply a lesson in being self-deluded. We really don't see the things of our own heart. And these disciples were living their life and they just couldn't grab a hold of it. It didn't compute. They didn't understand this thing about the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, wait a minute, time out. And he gathered them together. And I can just see this little 4-year-old girl or this little boy come up to Jesus and he puts him on his lap because he had this demeanor about him that just drew little children to him. And he began to teach them about how it was that the humble, you know, would be the ones who would succeed. How the servant was actually the leader. The whole upside down concept of the kingdom of God. And he said, unless you receive the kingdom of God like a small child, you will never indeed enter into that. What does he mean when he talks about coming into the kingdom like a small child? Some of us, of course, have read Robert Fulghum's book on what I ever learned, I learned in kindergarten. And this is what he says in the book. He says, when you learn, think about things you learned in kindergarten, he says, you share everything, play fair, don't hit people, put things back where you found them, clean up your own mess, don't take things that aren't yours, say you're sorry when you hurt somebody, wash your hands before you eat, take a nap in the afternoon. When you go out into the world, watch for traffic, hold hands and stick together. Do you think our world would be a whole lot better place if every one of us had cookies and milk at 3 o'clock and we laid down and take a nap? Rather than all the bickering and complaining and fighting and, you know, going at it, you know, like this. For those who come to the kingdom, come as a small child. What does it mean? There was a pastor who was sharing about communion one day. They were going to have communion. And he held up the bread and he began to talk about the bread and how the bread was resembling the body of Christ. And he broke the bread and he said, you know, this bread is broken and it reminds us that Jesus Christ was broken on the cross of Calvary for your sins and mine. And he began to talk about the cup of juice and he began to talk about how the juice represented the blood of Christ that was shed upon Calvary. And as he began to share, all of a sudden there was a little girl sitting so far back out in the church. She ran towards the front of the church. And her mommy got up and ran after her. And grabbed a hold of the little girl just before she got to the elements. Grabbed her up and she was squirming and she was, you know, tossing and turning, trying to get loose. And her mommy took her back to the pew. And as she was taking her back to the pew, the little girl said in a very audible voice, I just want to eat with Jesus, mommy. I just want to eat with Jesus. I just want to eat with Jesus, mommy. Now, I don't know what the disciples would have thought. And I don't know what the people were thinking that day. There's no doubt those who were, you know, giggling and laughing because of what she said. There were probably those who were saying, you know, why can't the parent just keep her quiet? You know, keep her in the pew. But I look at that little girl who just said, I want to eat with Jesus. And I see a girl who was eager and innocent. She was filled with joy. She was filled with anticipation. She didn't come to that table burdened with resentments. She didn't come to that table distracted by those around her and all the anxieties and cares of the world. You know, all she wanted to do was worship her Lord. All she wanted to do was eat with Jesus. And I think that's what you call authentic humility. She could let down her guard. She knew that she was secure in God's arms. She was affirmed by His love. And she knew that all she wanted to do was just, she didn't care what other people thought. All she wanted to do was eat with Jesus. And I think that's what it means to come to the kingdom. We want to be able to commune with Jesus, fellowship with Jesus, you know, have fun with Jesus, live with Jesus, let Him be the Lord of our life. And the second quality I think that he's talking about here is when you think about children, you think about how dependent they are. No baby can survive without its mother or father. No 2 or 3 year old can survive without its mother or father. And I think about how, you know, you raise those small children and the parents hold them in their arms and you know how it is when you have a baby or a smaller child, that, you know, when they get a little bit older, everybody wants to hold them, and sometimes you take a hold of them and they throw this great big fit. Why? Because they don't feel secure there. They feel secure in their mother's arms. But a small child is totally dependent upon their parents. Totally dependent, totally into the fact that their parents have to provide for them and feed them and help them. And when I think he's talking about coming into the kingdom like a small child, he's talking about humility. And he's talking about total and complete dependence. You see, in our day, as we become adults, what happens? Well, Lord, I can do it myself. And children do that too at sometimes. That's when they begin to get a little bit older, you see. That sin nature kicks in. I don't need God. I can do it myself. No, total dependence, humility, complete honesty. No cover-ups, no games, no deals, no conditions. They're totally living in the moment and in the grace of God. There's a song that we sing, you know, when we were small children, and hopefully we don't forget it when we're older. Basically, it says, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but what? He is strong. And that simple little song, when Karl Barth, the famous theologian, was once asked, he was giving a news conference, And someone once asked him what the greatest theological truth of old time was. Karl Barth, who taught in Germany at a university there and wrote multitudes of books, simply said, "Jesus loves me. This I know." It's the greatest truth of all time. Jesus loves me. This I know. He loves me in the good times. He loves me in the bad times. And the kingdom of God is for people who aren't ashamed to become childlike. The kingdom of God is not, I'm not talking about being childish, okay? Because the Bible tells us that we're to go from childishness to becoming mature in the faith. But I'm talking about having the qualities of a childlike spirit. And not being ashamed, knowing that we come to Him, knowing that we aren't perfect, and that's the truth, but Jesus still loves me. Jesus wants to enfold me within His arms. He wants to put me on His lap, and that's grace. Are we coming to the Lord in that humble way? Are we coming to the Lord in that spirit of dependence? Are we coming to the Lord knowing that He loves me unconditionally? He loves me unconditionally. And He wants me to walk with Him, to enjoy Him, to fellowship with Him, to lay everything else aside, all the baggage, all the stuff that I carry around, and to merely worship Him for who He is. So the disciples were saying, you know, hey, Lord, I want to sit on your right. I want to sit on your left. He's saying, hey, you haven't got it right yet. You know, when you're up, you're down. When you're humble, you're up. When you're servant, you're leader. You got to come into the kingdom. You got to get on your knees. You got to come dependent. Come honest. Come as a child.